It is a delight to introduce to you someone you probably already know. As most of you know, that I've pulled away from preaching responsibilities for the summer. I should report to you that it's been another good week of progress. I'd hope to be able to report to you that the chapter that I was working on was submitted by Friday. It wasn't. It might be submitted yet tonight if things go well enough. How about that? So we're, you know, really, really close, and even got this morning back a previous chapter from an editor, and it's ready to go on. And it's kind of a long, bulky process. And I say chapter, I'm not writing a book. It's just a project, but it's pretty extensive. Thank you for the liberty that you've given me to make progress on that. And for the prayers that you've offered, that the Lord would bless those efforts, and it's shaping up into something that I think I'm happy with it. I want it to make a difference for the kingdom ultimately when all is said and done, and I think we're working that direction. So I appreciate that. Anyway, you know that we are working through the Psalms with a whole series of great guest preachers, and Larry Houghton is coming to share God's word with us this morning. Larry, if you don't know him, is a great brother in the Lord. He and his wife, Anna, are just like all of you are, but they're a sweet gift to this fellowship. And the thing about Larry, he's pretty formal, so you kind of have to get used to put black socks on for this morning. And just help me, even if you know Larry or if you don't, would you help me welcome him as the one who's going to share the Word of God this morning?
I plan on it.
Well,
right now there should be a cricket over here going, okay. It is really crowded up here. It seems really big from down there, but it isn't. I'm just going to add just a little bit. Most of you know me. I don't melt or break up very easy. Like at the drop of any hat. But I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for what He's done in my life. Chris and Louise, what a beautiful thing. Thank you. Wow. For years, I went to Sturgis. Went every year, did this bike wash thing. I know this. All this part's free. And I promise I'll get you out of here by dinner. Supper. Anyway. I wasn't going this year. Hadn't even really thought about it. There's stuff. You know, we all have stuff. So I can't do it. Thursday, I went to work, and this guy that I bought my Ford truck from, a dealer. Sorry, guys. Can you rest for a second? Called me and said, hey, are you interested in selling that truck back to me? I gave you too good a deal, blah, blah, blah. And the Spirit said, do it. Okay, I'll do it. So I drop, my wife takes me, we drop it off. I get a phone call while I'm at work from this friend of mine. He said, Larry, I heard you're not coming to Sturgis. What's up? I said, I didn't collect any funds because we're told we can't just pay to go. You have to take a week off work and you have to pay $500 just to go on this missions trip. So, and you can't just pay it. You have to collect it from others. They want you to be invested in it. I was a board member for this Sturgis group for a long time. But, nope, not going. He said, I think you're supposed to go. I said, I haven't said anything about work. God called me out of work. I only work 3 days a week. He told me to quit those 2 days and focus on ministry. My loving wife said, you have to. If you're called, you have to. Man, what a wife. What a mate. What a helper. So the guy on the phone says, well, you know what? Go talk to your boss because I believe he's going to say, isn't the Sturgis trip next week? You should go. And I'm like, you don't know the owner of this place. So I walked in there. Now, he wasn't there. He was gone. A little while later, he calls me and says, hey, I missed you. You need to talk to me. Yeah. So I walk in his office, sat down. I said, Mike, I got a chance to go minister and do some speaking in South Dakota. He said, you should go. Okay, yeah. So now I walk out and I'm thinking, well, Lord, I can't afford this. How am I going to? I mean, I can't just call somebody and say, hey, I need $500. I got to go now. And then it dawns on me, oh, I'm selling my truck. And this guy promised to give me every penny that I had put into it. So I called him. He said, come by in the morning. I got your money. Okay. He didn't have it. We still rent the car. We're still putting gas in it. We're still driving to Sturgis. These two guys have no idea that this is miracle gas, that this is a miracle car. And I'm just driving along. Yeah. And they have no idea that they're going to sleep in a 7 foot long, 2.5 foot wide space with seven other guys and one shower that is literally like a cup of water. Fortunately, it didn't take me long to shower, so that wasn't a problem. But Anna, being an accountant, says to me, don't worry about it. I will get that money. Well, I've been on the other side of her saying that, so I know God will use her and God will get this. All week, it's kind of in the back of my mind, and every now and then I'd text her, hey, how's it going? Don't worry about that. You just let God use you. You just let God use you. Okay. Okay, you're right. Prayer, Holy Spirit, rain on me. I got to do this. And every day we would do this. I'm driving home, holding the phone. I let John drive. Any of you ever ride with John? So I'm getting ready to text my wife, and I'm thinking, do I want to know the answer to this? I send it to her. Frowny face comes back and says, I'm sorry. He's lied to me all week. Those aren't exact words, but that's what I heard. I get home. Before I can walk in the house, there's this. Where's this money coming from? God, you told me to walk away from work. I get a phone call from my daughter. The father of the twins just left. He's mad. Left. Moving out. So you go from this to boom. And I had warned these guys, now, when you get back, you're going to fall. I mean, it's like, ugh. Because we have literally been walking in, singing with, and breathing the Shekinah glory for 4 days. We washed between 800 and 1,000 motorcycles. We gave out up to 1,500 Bibles. I can't tell you how many people I led to the Lord. And now I come home and there's this. My son's car explodes. I can just go on and on and on. Then it dawns on me, if it rains, all I got's my bike to ride. I'm a genius. Lord, you got to do something. The next morning, the guy with the money, the guy without the money, calls me and he says, hey, meet me at noon. Come by the shop. Pick me up. We'll go to Mid-America Bank downtown. This is Friday, noon, downtown Topeka, Mid-America Bank. We'll go down there and I'll get the money. I got a wire coming in. Cool. Great. My daughter calls. She says, hey, Manny's back. We've talked about it. Everything's fine. Okay, Lord, I should have just left that alone. I start to leave the house. My phone rings. It's a buddy I've seen 3 times in 20 years. I was going to buy a Suburban from him for $1,000. What kind of Suburban is that, right? The tires are more than that. But you know what? This is what God wants me to do. Fine. He says, I'm coming to get you. I'm going to take you back to Shawnee. You'll get it. Shawnee, Kansas. And all, and then you can drive back. Okay. I said, now I need to talk to you about something. He goes, oh, one other thing. It's free. I want you to have it. What? I became undone. Undone because it has nothing to do with how you feel. Your spirit has nothing to do with how you feel. Boy, I'm tired today. And my spirit, the Holy Spirit in me just says, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So we drag these old bones around. I pick up. Ooh, I almost said his name. Don't do that. Now, this is a car dealer. I pick him up. We go to the bank. He's on his cell phone immediately. As soon as he gets in the car. On his car. Little car. So he's right here. Well within striking distance. And I said, oh, I almost said it again. I called him by name, and he says, "Oh, just a second." Gets on his cell phone. Now he's talking to his wife about, "Oh, I know we have to go in town. Yeah, we have to go get all the clothes for the kids for school, blah, 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 blah." And he goes on and on and on. "Oh, all right." And then he hangs up. So she must have said, "Get off the phone. I got to go." So he hangs up. I know this is long. Bear with me. We're at 1st and Topeka Boulevard, headed in town. And he says, "Well, man, you know, I take ADD meds, and today's a really bad day, so I took some extra." And the words jumped out of my mouth. "So you're a drug addict." He turned and he looked at me. He goes, "Well, you're not the first person to say that, but I wouldn't call myself that." I said, "So you're a liar and a drug addict." Just like that. Now, you have to remember, I've been in the real world for 4 days. I'm talking about men that are just as soon choke you and watch you struggle till you die as never meet you. I mean, it means nothing. So those are the guys that God's been having me deal with. This little guy is nothing. Are you kidding me? And the spirit that's in him is just some sorry little imp from the darkness. I don't care. When God speaks and you hold it back, you're the one who loses. So here we go. He said, "Well, I never looked at it like that, but they are prescription drugs." I said, "Wow, you've got to stop lying to yourself, man. Seriously." And he has always respected I'm very much out there. I have no secrets, as these two can tell you, my sister and my other mom. And we park, and we're walking the half a block to the bank. And he's going on about this problem. His mind is so messed up. And I said, "I know what you need." He says, "What's that?" I said, "You need God. You need God in your life." He says, "Yeah, I know it." In the lobby of the Bank of America, this car dealer is bawling like a baby with me, bawling like a baby, accepting Christ, claiming he's a liar, a drug addict, and God makes him say it 3 times sitting in that big old lobby. And he walks out shaking his head, and we walked out together. "Did I get my money?" "No." You know what? I don't even care at this point, because I know why all this happened now. When everything crashes, then God. "Well, I've tried everything else. Let's try God." All that was free. See how good he is? Amazing. One of the pictures of me praying with a young man between these cars, he wanted to separate himself. His father is one of the head of a group that's called the El Forsteros. They are under the Hell's Angels. He had spent the weekend. It's now Tuesday. And he said, "I got to get out of here." Something in him was exploding. He came through the bike wash. I led him to the Lord. He then told me he lives in Wichita. I gave him phone number, gave him one of my cards. His name's Darren. Man, if you write it down, pray for Darren. As soon as he came back to Wichita, he has to go spend 5 years in the pen. He's 27 years old. He has 4 children. He doesn't know any of them. The weight that is on these people, it's no wonder they can't even look toward the light, because of the guilt, the anguish, the pain. "I'll just stay in the darkness. It's so much easier." I thank God for the opportunity that I can share with you, because I know you'll carry it with me. I can't tell you the importance that I place upon this time, this hour. Because I believe when you're given this opportunity, you will stand before God. What did you do with that 150 hours of human life that I gave you to sit and listen to you? What did you talk about? What did you say? I want to glorify God. And I want to tell you, if you came to hear Larry, you wasted your time and you'll be disappointed. The Holy Spirit, is here because he lives in me. And I've asked him to bless you, to water you today. Since I was asked to share on Psalms 118, I've looked at it. I'm just going to read this. I've looked at it and studied it in depth. I've broken every verse down to its multiple meanings. Prayed about a historical lecture format or a prophetic viewpoint. Read sermons from ministries past and present. Tried to glean the diamonds from each one of them. But I kept coming back to the same thing. What does God want me to glean from this psalm? I can't dazzle you with interesting statistics or amaze you with eye-opening revelation. I simply wish to reintroduce you to a brother, this broken, sinful author, a child selected to be king through a prophet, a boy turned hero, a young man hated by king and country, an embarrassing husband, a failure as a father, yet a man after God's own heart. The country finally accepts David as king, and now in this psalm rejoices in this praise. I want you to visualize this king holding the sacrifice, moving up a slight hill to the tent of the tabernacle where they can see it. And the crowd of the people walking behind him, now accepting David as king, as God's chosen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I'll not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I'll enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You've become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. And he has made the light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. You guys are awesome. A simple psalm that I'd read, I can't tell you how many times. I can tell you this. In the last month and a half, it's been over, well over 100 times. Thinking, well, Lord, this is all good, but so? Now what? Have you ever thought of the word endures? You ever considered that word for the Lord endures? His love endures forever? Endures. A verb. A verb. Brave. Encounter. Represses feelings. Patient with. Take. Support. Go through. Suffer. Sustain. Tolerate. Undergo, stomach. His love stomachs me forever. His love suffers forever. Not till that repeated sin, and then I've used it up. No, his love endures. We can't quite grasp that, that his love is that great, that it endures everything. So I ask myself, why? Why does he put up with me? Why does he tolerate my actions? How could his love be this great? Why do you love me so? Why do you show me this pure love? Then, though I've turned my back on him, I've taken for granted the price that he paid, that he was that lamb, that he was that sacrifice. And I cry out at the least little discomfort or trouble. And when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place, an open place. Nothing pressing on me. The Lord is with me. I'll not be afraid. What can these mortals do to me? Again, something I can't quite grasp. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. It has to be a power that is just so great within you, because we are mere mortals and we know what mortals can do to us. I'm going to skip down to 8. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. We know David trusted in Jonathan, Saul's son. And when I read this, I imagine the heartbreak of David, because David did not want to believe. Something in him could not believe and grasp that the man he loved, the man he was willing to die for, the man he stood before Goliath to represent his king. See, because the king wanted him to put armor on. Remember that? The king wanted him to put armor on because, and I believe it's because, and this is Larry, so take it or leave it. Here, put this armor on, David, because, you know, if you're killed out there, then they'll think the king died and they won't come looking for me. And if not, maybe they'll think I killed Goliath. That's something I hadn't thought about, but it just came to me one day. But Saul was messed up about this time. He'd thrown spears at David. Oh, here, you drop this. So he did it again. Oh, here, you drop this. David would not accept that Saul wanted him dead, that Saul saw him as a threat, that Satan saw David as a threat. David met with Jonathan, and Jonathan said, if I shoot the arrow over here and I tell the guy who chases the arrows, no, it's farther back, then you know that the king wants to kill you. And that happened. Can you imagine David hiding, and he's sitting there behind a bush, and he's waiting, and he hears, no, it's farther back. The devastation. Because if the king hates you, the nation has to hate you. You can't stand against the king. So here's a boy that had been told he'd be king, and everybody knew he was going to be king. But the nation he's supposed to be king of is hated. The weight that is on him, the pain. We know the loneliness that we sometimes feel. And in 10 it says, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed like bees. You know that all of a sudden when you realize there's bees around you, frantic. I'm frantic. I've lost it. I can't get a hold of anything. The fear is running through my veins. I can't breathe. I'm short of breath. And if you don't know that feeling, you're blessed. But they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back. I was about to fall, but the Lord helped me. David struggled with Saul, a king that he loved, a country that he'd fought and no doubt bled for. The very people that loved him as a boy now sought to kill him. His own wife despised him. He was embarrassed by the depth of his love for God. His own son stood against him, lied about him, plotted to overthrow and kill him. Where does a guy go? The Lord is my strength and my defense, or song. He's become my salvation. God has now brought me to a better place. God has now brought me to a place where I feel him, where I stand with him, where I know his strength. This next part, I don't know why, but it so excites me. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. If anybody's ever been camping and these people are in a tent and they think nobody can hear us, we've all been there. And it's like, well, did you hear him when he said, hello, I'm right here. This thin piece of nylon is not doing a thing. Hello. Imagine these hundreds of tents, thousands of tents. Shouts of joy and victory. Did you see what we did? Did you see what God did through us? Did you see just God mowing down the armies? God blessing our king and raising him up. We are so blessed. God is so good. His love endures forever. You can just hear the murmuring. And you know what? They're not talking about people. They're not talking about you. They're not talking about me. It's rejoicing. It's good things. It's lifting up. It's edifying. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I'll not die but live. Man, when David could grasp that, I'll not die but live. Now remember, this is a procession and everyone's singing with David as he's walking up toward the tent of the tabernacle. And he gets close to the gate. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I'll enter and give thanks to the Lord. He's calling into the Levites, into the priests that are inside the tent of the tabernacle, comes to that entrance. You have to be spiritually cleansed to be able to enter that. and he cries out, "Open for me the gates. I'll enter and give thanks to the Lord." John 10:9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Matthew 21:32, just the first part. "For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness." Who is that way of righteousness? It's Jesus. Another scripture that I didn't have Abby put on there. I'm sorry, Abby. But is about he who enters through the gate is righteous, but he who doesn't is a thief. That gate is Jesus. Now this whole procession of going toward the tent of the tabernacle, as we well know, the tent of the tabernacle is representing Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Enter through the gate. We enter through Jesus. We offer our sacrifice. That sacrifice representing the great sacrifice, God's Son, who laid down His life. We know that. These people didn't. This is 1,000 years before that. Inside the gate comes the response from the Levites, the priests. "This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter." Jesus has made it possible to enter into the very presence of God, to offer our sacrifice, to speak to Him, to praise Him, to be heard by Him, to be heard. God help me. And He does. To be heard. "Hun, would you just listen?" "I am." "Would you stop doing what you're doing?" "Okay. I need you to hear me." Opportunity to walk through the gate that Jesus designed, that the Father designed. Enter into His presence and be heard. "I will give you thanks for you answered me. You've become my salvation. You rescued me. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Now this is where David and Jesus kind of parallel. David considered a man after God's own heart. Yet we know very much a broken man. He was despised, as I've talked about several times, rejected his own people. David stood on the promise of God that he would one day be king. Then later, the reference is made by Jesus after his triumphal entry. "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Remember Jesus referring to that after the triumphal entry? When he's speaking to the Pharisees and he said, "Have you not heard? Have you not read? That the stone the builders rejected will become the cornerstone." 1,000 years before David said this, the Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Again, paralleling the triumphal entry of Jesus. Entering Jerusalem. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." from the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he's made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, what they're saying is we tie the sacrifice. We bind the sacrifice. I have so many things I need to sacrifice. So many things that I cling to as, this is what gets me through my day. This is what gets me through my week. I need my coffee. I need my bagel. Hun, where's my favorite shoes? Holy Spirit, where are you? I chase you down. I'm ravenously hungry. I'm tired of reading about what Jesus did and where Jesus did it. I'm tired of living on sermons. I'm tired of living on YouTube. I'm tired of living on someone else's praise. I don't want to be where you've been. I want to be where you are. I don't want a spark. I want an inferno. I don't want to get people wet. I want them to swim in his presence. I am so tired of living on yesterday's blessing. I lay it down, Father. I'm tired. I'm not working anymore. I'm bringing in the sacrifice. I'm placing it before you, whatever it is. You know what God wants from you? It's this simple. This is what God wants from you. Lord, burn it in our hearts. Sear us with this. This is what he wants from you, what you will not give. That little piece you hold back. That's all he wants. There truly is joy in giving. And I can tell you, you cannot outgive God. Blaine, will you come up? You guys are so easy to talk to. You really are. We are so blessed. I am unbelievably blessed that you would listen to me. Who is this God that loves me so much? Yeah, I know him. I asked a guy one time, I said, do you have God in your life? Oh yeah. So you know Jesus? Yeah. I gave him a little time and I said, hey, you know Mel Gibson? Yeah. That's how you know Jesus. It's that same depth. You see, God was here. He could no longer dwell amongst us because of sin. His son was here. And he had to leave. Why did he have to leave, Dan? He was sinless. He left so that the Holy Spirit could come. I must leave. I must leave so that someone greater can come. Yet we spend our time reading about Jesus and his life. Nothing wrong with that. But folks, it's time to pick up and live in the Holy Spirit. What's that look like? You tell me. I want to drown in it. Nothing excites me like the blessing and the rain of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that feeling? When's the last time, Lord, our shadow passed by someone and they were healed? Greg, you and I spoke of that. When's the last time my shadow went by somebody like Peter's and they were healed? Oh, well, that isn't possible anymore. We have the Holy Spirit. It's been left. What are we doing with it? Waiting on Jesus? He left us with the Holy Spirit. For what? What's the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Easy. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is power. That you would be endued with power. We get it confused with the gifts sometimes, but the evidence of the Holy Spirit is that you have power. Lord, I want that power. I'm tired of not having power. I want to be able to touch you and things are straight. I want to be able to speak to you when you hear the throne room of God. Not for my sake. Father, I come to you, Lord. We ask you, we seek your face, not your hands. We ask you, Father, to rent the heavens, to open up the floor of heaven, to rain upon us with your Holy Spirit, to have your way on us right now, Lord. Devour us, drown us.